This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick in Washington. Experts from the American Medical Association and other groups are meeting to discuss children and obesity. A new federal mandate says schools now have to pay attention to this issue, though it doesn't provide federal money. Nancy Greenlees of member station KUNC reports on one school district in Colorado.
Inside an airy gym, kindergartners rim a rainbow-colored parachute. This is Mrs. Brittenham's physical education class, and things are starting to heat up.
We're going to pretend like the parachute is a giant pan, a giant popcorn pan, and we're going to pretend like these yarn balls are popcorn seeds.
The kids start to wave their arms to the rhythm of the music. The balls pop up, but not out.
We're going to start shaking harder.
Sue Brittenham disguises physical activity as fun. Her students learn to skateboard and ride scooters. This is why she was named one of the nation's top instructors and tapped to write the Boulder Valley School District's wellness policy. It encourages regular physical activity and healthier foods. But Brittenham doubts the federal mandate will help reduce obesity.
You know, I'm kind of concerned. I know it'll raise the awareness, but who's going to hold you accountable? So I think it would take money, like most things, to really make a huge difference.
Even this school district that is given high priority to wellness still has tough choices to make. The No Child Left Behind federal mandate pressures schools to devote more time to academics. That forces schools to cut PE teachers and physical education time.
Most of the research shows that when kids are allowed to be physically active, it may actually increase test scores.
James Hill is the director of the Center for Human Nutrition at the University of Colorado Health Sciences Center.
We're so focused on test scores that I think schools are hesitant to give up time, which can be time devoted for curriculum.
But the Boulder Valley schools came up with a creative solution. They changed the time of recess.
I'm driving. Drive! Hurry! Uh-oh!
A handful of kids pretend to drive a kid-sized Jeep on the playground of an elementary school in Lafayette, Colorado. Recess is now before lunch, not after, which prompted a student protest. Fifth graders Olga Valle and Shirley Raisler weigh in on the change.
I don't like it. I'm really used to lunch and then recess.
I think it's better because a lot of the kids would just take a bite and then throw their food away because they're rushing to recess.
Shirley gets the gold star. The principal says the students are eating more food, allowing them to focus better in the afternoon. And thanks to the wellness policy, the school lunches are healthier. But they're not receiving a five-star rating from many students, including 9-year-old Kenzie Shong.
To me, it's nasty. I'd rather eat a pile of boogers.
Instead, he ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. If he were school chef, he'd serve
hamburgers, hot dogs, fries, root beer, pop, that's it, and candy.
That's not very healthy, though.
That's good.
And that's the crux of the problem, according to experts. Not only kids, but their role models. Parents and teachers have eaten poorly and exercised rarely for years. James Hill of the University of Colorado expects it will take a few generations to reverse the obesity epidemic.
This is a move in the right direction, but this obesity problem is so serious that we can't just attack it in one setting. We've got to look at it pretty much everywhere the child goes during their day.
So, before and after the school bell, the rest of society has a homework assignment to make all of us sweat. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Greenlees in Denver.